I remember well when visiting Jerusalem, and the tour guide took us to all of the, quote, holy places that are all just big, dirty buildings, but at one time they were gorgeous cathedrals, I'm sure. And I can remember when we went into the Church of the Resurrection, and then he took us through the back way, and we walked up the steps, and we went through this one area that was all plastic enclosed with nice lights, and it was a pile of dirt with a hole. He said, that's where the cross was that killed our Lord. Everybody around me was, they were in awe. I don't remember if I was in awe or just perplexed. Why in the deuce would you want to remember a hole where there was a cross that killed somebody and make it holy? It wasn't. It was brutality at its worst. And historically, I could find nothing in Scripture that says you've got to remember the cross, even if it's gold-looking, and as a Protestants, it's empty. For Roman Catholics, there's a body. It's death. It signifies the brutality that we have toward humanity. Ah, in this case, the brutality that we shown to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I looked in the hole, and I remember Joy was saying, don't say anything. I didn't. We walked out, and we walked down to see a big slab of marble. And if you rubbed it and touched, you could smell rose oil. And that's where his body laid, and they put rose oil on him, and they looked at this slab and said, isn't that wonderful? And everybody stood there in awe too, and I'm thinking, what is all this? Which has nothing to do with the resurrection. Nothing. Nothing at all. That's when I started thinking, you know, we've got to get a little more reality in this. This morning, Barbara mentioned to me, she said, well, that's not the usual scripture that you use for Sunday, for Easter Sunday. And I said, no, I'd like to add some variety. Open your Bibles to Matthew, the 28th chapter, the very end of this gospel lesson. And if you'll look at your Bible, you'll see the resurrection is reported, the guards reported, and then the Great Commission is reported. All of this needs to be heard on this Easter Sunday. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he's risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now, I have told you. For the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while you were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we'll satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. This story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age." Amen. Now, Easter admittedly is a remarkable event for Christians. It marks the very beginning of our victory over sin and the promise of God's glory. You see, Easter is our call. It's our call to discipleship. The trial, the crucifixion, the embedding of the cross in the ground, the horrible stuff that went with it, that's all past tense on Easter Sunday. It's all past tense. It's over. In fact, really, when you study the New Testament, it's not really mentioned much more than it is in two of the Gospels. It's over. Because it's afterward that really counts. And it was true then, and it's true now. It's afterward that counts. And what counts? Well, I'm going to suggest to you three things which are very evident from the lesson that I read to you. Three little things that are really very, very evident that matter. And the first is belief. Belief. The resurrection is so absolutely staggering that it seems beyond belief, doesn't it? It seems beyond any imagination that anyone would overcome that terrible death on a cross and talk about it. Well, it's true. According to Scripture, the angel came, told the women of Jesus' promise, and asked them to go and tell everybody about it. Let them know what's going on. Every word in this event urges us to believe. It's still a fact that the promises of Christ are really too good to be true. But we must take Christ at his word. So the first really important thing that we get from this as an imperative of our faith is belief. Do you believe that Jesus Christ overcame death? Do you? That's a question. A second imperative is we, like those women, are urged to share. And that's the hard thing, you see. We've got to be sharers of the word. When you realize that Jesus Christ overcame all of this stuff, we're urged to tell people about it. When you realize that Christ is risen from the dead, like them, we're to tell other people about it. The command comes to us as well on this Easter Sunday. Go and share the good news. Go out, share the good news. It should be the happiest news that you can share with anyone. And it should be very easy, matter of fact, to do. And yet it's pretty difficult, isn't it? It really is. Another imperative that comes from this story, we are expected to rejoice in the risen Christ. When we confront the risen Christ, we are expected to live in the joy of His presence from which nothing could ever separate us. Nothing. That should give us a satisfaction and a calming and a smile that doesn't often occur in the religions of the world. All of us, whatever was then is now. Because you see, it is afterward that counts. It's the afterward that counts in this story. It's the afterward that counts in your life. Because this Easter Sunday is totally new for all of us. Just as new as the first Sunday ever was. Jesus then met His disciples. And did you notice? He offered them three directives. Oh, I know what you're going to say. It's a 6-point sermon. He offered three directives to those disciples when they met at Galilee. And they were very easy. Accept My power. Nothing was outside the power of Christ to overcome death. His power was now theirs to witness and to share. No questions. Another directive came. Accept what I'm telling you as My commission to share the good news and make everyone disciples. And it may be well that in the scripture when it talks about instructing those, go into all the world and baptize them in My name. In My name? This is a lot, you see. In Judaism, when someone converted to become a Jew, they were baptized. Were washed clean from what was to what would be. But in Christianity, you're baptized to be one in Christ, to accept Christ and grow in Christ and celebrate Christ in all of your life. So that scripture takes on a whole new meaning, you see. The overwhelming truth is that we are to win folks for Christ and bring them here to this place. The other directive that I find in this wonderful lesson for Easter is to accept Christ's presence in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the first time we get really into that Holy Spirit idea. This was a staggering truth for those disciples in that early time, that the Holy Spirit can change me and mold me and make me a different person. Accept Christ's presence in the Holy Spirit. No sooner was this command given than a promise followed. They were sent out. Now go into all the world in My name. Not just baptizing people and changing them, but letting them know the things I've taught, the things I've said, the things I've shared with you. Don't be afraid, because I'm going to be with you with the Holy Spirit. You see, the greatest presence in the world really comes down to that. Easter. Easter. The beginning of our faith, the renewal of our faith, the character of our faith found at an open tomb. And the challenge of our faith, go into all the world in my name, ministering, sharing, celebrating. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Say it. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Boy, it's afterward that counts. God of our fathers, God of our life, continue to give us your blessing as we seek to renew our own faith and our own life in the Spirit of our living Lord. Bless, guide, and direct us this Resurrection Sunday. For Christ. Amen.